Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome on this not-so-stellar sixth Sunday of Easter. At this time, I invite everyone to stand as you're able and join in singing hymn 191 found in our blue hymnals. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things that surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you, that we, loving you in all things, and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded by the gift of the Holy Spirit that had been pointed out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So we have ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord,
A reading from the first letter of John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this, we know that the love of the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel hymn this morning is hymn 455, found in the blue hymnal. I invite everyone to please stand as you are able to join in singing hymn 455.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that you may join, so that you your joy may be in you, and so your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Somewhere along the way, I heard if you want someone to truly learn something, repeat, repeat, repeat. Somehow I think those who constructed the lectionary understood that message a little too well, especially as we get into this latter part of the Easter season. Because for those of us who were here last week, our readings sound basically like a repeat of last week's readings. We continue to hear Jesus' final discourse to the disciples on Maundy Thursday, and abide in me as I in you, over and over again. And then in our story from Acts, or our passage from Acts, we once again see the raising up of new people with the Holy Spirit to be baptized, and kind of that same question at the end that we heard last week with the Ethiopian eunuch. So what can prevent us from baptizing with water? Yes, it is sort of a variation on a theme, but I think it's good to constantly reinforce what God's love through Christ is about. Because when Jesus said to the disciples, or when the disciples were in the proximity of the angels on Easter Sunday, and they said, go out and tell and make disciples of all people and all nations. Based on Acts, I'm not sure they really understood what that angel meant or what Jesus meant to them when he said the same thing. Spread the gospel to all people and all nations meant everybody. But that's not quite how the earliest church really understood the gospel message. And when I'm talking about the early church, I'm talking about within the first 3 to 5 years of the church. Because as Christianity began to take hold and people were beginning to enter into what back then was called the way, short for the way of Christ, they primarily saw the Christian faith as just sort of an offshoot of Judaism. Most Christians still worshiped in the synagogues. And for the most part, while they had this sense of salvation through Jesus and the cross, they were still very tied into practicing the laws of Torah. And so for a Gentile to kind of come into the church, there was this kind of controversy of how Jewish do we have to make them? And who qualifies and who doesn't. So last week in our story from Acts, we heard about Philip being called to speak with the Ethiopian eunuch and how the reality of that individual was very much impure from a Jewish standpoint. And yet, after hearing about the gospel in relation to what he was reading in Isaiah, came to believe and was baptized by Philip. Now, the Holy Spirit this time around is pushing the envelope on who's in and who's out a little bit further. In this morning's passage from the book of Acts, what we don't hear about is whose house Peter has gone into at the direction of the Holy Spirit. He has been called to go into the house of Cornelius, a centurion. Now, I can only imagine Peter's angst when the Holy Spirit says, go to Cornelius' house and proclaim the gospel. Kind of wondering, am I walking into a trap? Am I going to get killed doing this? Because Cornelius, as a centurion, represents the oppression of Rome. The very oppression of Rome and the law that led to Jesus' execution. So I can imagine that Peter is feeling very leery. But what does he find when he gets there? Basically, what many people are referring to as a second Pentecost. A Pentecost this time not for the Jews gathered in Jerusalem, but for the Gentiles. And so we heard in Acts circumcised versus uncircumcised. What does that mean? How does that work? And ultimately, because they had been swept in the Spirit, Peter realized that they were too called to be baptized by water, and in this case we hear in the name of Jesus, which is a little unique in this situation. We're not quite to that concept of Trinitarian baptism. But nevertheless, this moment in the church set off a lot of conflict. We see that in the book of Acts, and as we read through the letters of Paul. Because now there was kind of this tug of war between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians over what is the role of the law within the church. Do you have to keep all of Torah? Some of Torah? Or is it anything goes? And that became a dividing line, especially as we read Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, I have a handful of Roman graduates this week because our Thursday evening Bible study concluded its year-long journey through Paul's letter to the Romans. And the one thing that we had to keep in mind throughout is that Paul is trying to work through a conflict in the Roman church over this very reality, a split between the Jewish Christians and the Gentiles, and that role of how do we live into being saved? What does it look like? And of course, the Jewish contingency is, well, they don't keep the laws, so they're not as good as we are at being Christians. And the Gentile position was, well, we never had to keep the laws, and we're able to live a Christian life without that. So obviously, we're better and stronger because we don't need the crutch. And so Paul, in his argument to the church at Rome, was, guys, remember this. We're all equal. If it weren't for the grace that is given to us through the cross, we would not qualify for salvation. And it's not about necessarily orthopraxis, the right practice. It's moving more towards orthodoxy, the right belief. And the right belief is in the efficacy of the cross and the grace of God for salvation. And that is all one needs. But then the other piece is, as we hear in today's gospel, once again, we are called to abide in Christ and Christ in us. But we also hear his word. While we're his friends, we have to keep his command. And that is why this story is read on Maundy Thursday, because it is the command that Jesus gives that night at the Last Supper that is the root of the word mande or mandatum, mandate. And that is to love one another as Jesus has loved us. That is totally and wholly the criteria of a righteous life under the cross. And so no longer is it about keeping all of the laws of Torah, but coming to understand what it means to live by abiding in Jesus and living sacrificially in the love of Christ. And we go from there because what else does Jesus tell us? We heard it last week. He is the vine, we are the branches. But we are to produce fruit. And despite what my prosperity gospel friends may say, it has nothing to do with a private jet. It has nothing to do with the size of our house or the size of our bank account, because the fruits of the Spirit are the fruits of love itself. So what are the fruits of your love in this world? And it is by that we will be judged. Now, as I talk about the fruits of the Spirit and today's readings, especially as I was preparing throughout the week, a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. came to me and has been playing in my head all week long. And it was part of his speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. The line that said, I have a dream that someday my children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. It doesn't matter who we are, where we come from. We all look for external ways of judging each other. Because the way of the world, well, as the young people say, is very judgy. And it's just part and parcel of who we are based on our cultural norms. We find ourselves often entitled to judge others. Oftentimes in the same way that we have been judged by others, because we have all been there. As I said last week, we have all been told somehow we aren't going to measure up, we don't qualify, we're not good enough. But the reality is, all of those externals are immaterial. It is not our role in this world to judge, but to love and to leave the judging up to God, and to work towards producing fruits of love, the divine love that transforms the world. Amen. Please stand and join me in affirming our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life
of the world to come. Amen.
In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work, for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone, for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, and
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, Nicholas, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. In our parish cycle of prayer, we pray for Brad and Julia Boss, Ron and Marjorie Boss, and Brian, Rebecca, Ethan, and Natalie Bouchard. In our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for La Iglesia de la Ascension, the Church of the Ascension, Cranston, and the Church of the Ascension, Wakefield. Hear us, Lord,
for your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, especially Vanna Shelley Cowie, Leo Carroll, and Graham Anier, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them,
who put their trust in you. Let us also take time to pray for those who live in harm's way, especially those who are living in war-torn areas, Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, Iran, Sudan. Let us pray for peace among all nations. And let us pray for all who flee from their homes because of danger, whether domestic or in the neighborhood. We pray that all countries of this world will open their doors to refugees and allow them a place to rest their head in peace. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not
loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please be seated, and I invite anyone who has an anniversary or a birthday during the month of May to come forward. Anniversary. Birthday, birthday, birthday.
Yes,
I'll put you on this side. Anniversary's on this side, birthday's on this side. So we'll start with the birthdays. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Oh God, our times are in your hand. Look with favor, we pray, upon your servants. As they begin another year, grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace, and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, anniversary. O God, you have so consecrated the covenant of marriage that in it is represented the spiritual unity between Christ and his church. Send therefore your blessing upon these your servants, that they may continue to so love, honor, and cherish each other in faithfulness and patience, in wisdom and true godliness, that their homes may continue to be havens of blessing and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with Christ's love. Peace.
55.
Peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Peace and happy birthday. I would say you've been married longer than I've been alive, but not quite. Peace. Welcome home. Peace. Peace.
Hey, sir.
All right, peace. Gotcha. I'm not going to leave you hanging. Peace with you. Peace with you.
Okay, it is that time.
It is that time.
Good morning, everybody. I have four things to say. One, I'm not that smart. holding up three fingers, he said. First off, thank you very much to the Christian Women's Network for the coffee hour setup. And this is a great opportunity after church to kind of go in and meet and greet and discuss. And so thank you very much for that, Zoe, and the rest of the women who helped. Also, the summer parking pass. It is here. And if you don't want to get a ticket, or if you want to get out of a ticket, I should say, you should come to the office and get one of these. The Narragansett Police Station has a copy of this, so he knows what color it is, because it's, I don't know how counterfeited it is, but in any case, when you come to church on Sunday, it's good to kind of put this in the front of your car so the people who are walking up and down know that you're here to worship.
They're available in the back of the church.
They're available in the back of the church. So there you go. You know, they'll know you're a good person and not just going to the beach. Because near the twain of those two things. Also, Friday, May 24th at 6 p.m. And that is going to be, we're going to have a shared meal with Temple Beth David up the street. And so there won't be any church supper here. We're just going to mooch off of them. But it's also a great way to kind of get to know them. And they invited us, so, you know, that's what it is. And it's a service, and I know Father Craig will say something more about how important that relationship. How old is that relationship?
35 years.
35 years of kind of connecting with them in a really wonderful way. Also, the treasury note, and I'm not going to go into detail, but we had a really good vestry meeting earlier this week on Tuesday, and I'm not going to get into the details of that. The minutes will be posted.
They are
posted. But one of the things that kind of came out of it was that we need to kind of be a little bit more open about the things that we're talking about, especially around like uncomfortable subjects like money and how this church is run and so on and so. Well, not how the church is run, but money. Because it can be, you know, well, there's this red button about like churches, they're always talking about money. It's like, so we're learning how to do that in a way that's transparent and allows you to engage with us and back and forth. So we can kind of carry the ball forward and do all the things that we really are kind of here to do and practice out there. But I mean, is that a good kind of sum up?
That's a good sum up.
And I thank Kent Yurchik Shoemaker for his just quick kind of thing, and if you have any questions or if you need someone to blame, he's right over there. Anything else?
Yeah. For those who didn't see the treasury notes, I'll just briefly recap. Through the end of March, our 2024 pledging amounted to $86,000. We're very grateful to all of you for participating in that. $26,000 of that was from last December. Through the end of March, our expenses are about concerned about that. We've set up a revamped finance committee to look into ways to be more careful with our money and ways to maybe generate money. If any of you have ideas about cost generating revenue, please share with me or the other vestry members. And I want to shift gears and remind people that the preschool has had a very successful year, and they have graduation on May 30th. It's going to be outside. Just bring a lawn chair. It's very, very sweet. It's just a wonderful thing.
It's very short.
Thank you. Anything else? Yes, counselor. Awkward moment. Sure, why not?
I can't make it here.
He said he wanted to talk to you about the ceremony and what you said wrong.
Oh, dear.
No, he didn't say that.
Good morning. My name is John Hines, and my wife and I are members of the Bible study that Father Craig mentioned that just finished this week, dealing with the study of St. Paul's letter to Rome.
They're trying to get people to
now,
join up.
This is not something that has been commented by Father Craig and I. I want to speak to you from my heart about Bible study. You know, you may think that it's kind of like a loathsome disease. I want people to read it. But it's not that at all. And it's not something that just relates to years ago. It relates to the present. And the nice thing about our Bible study, there are two. There is one on Wednesdays at noon. And the one my wife and I attend, and we've been in Bible study for about 5 years now, 6 years, is Thursday night at 7:15. And as we discuss the readings of the Bible, we bring into framework how it has application to our lives of today. And sometimes we spend the better part of the hour by going off on a particular matter that has been addressed in the Bible and how it affects us today and how it may help us transition through life. And not only that, but you do find that you wrestle with God as to various aspects that you find difficult to comprehend and difficult to understand. But by being in the Bible study, it at least gives you some vision as to how to deal with the matter. So the purpose of my standing up here today is to speak to you about thinking about becoming members of the Bible study program. You can contact Father Craig. We'd be more than happy to talk to you about it. It is enlightening. It's fun. It's dynamic. It's not stoic. So please think about it. Pass the message on to other parishioners that are not here. Give it a try. It's like a cup of tea. You may taste it and say it needs a little bit more sugar, or it may be very fine. That's it. Give it the taste, please.
Thank you. Thank you. And John, I love you.
At least someone's living up to love one another as I have loved you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he'd given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen, 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 amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of your Son, precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Please stand as you're able and join in singing hymn 344, found in the blue hymnals.
Coffee hour provided today by our Christian women's group. I invite you to join us and now go forth into the world in peace, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Well done. Thank you, thank you.